Chapter 12. Eppie's Decision. At 9 o'clock that evening, Eppie and Silas were sitting alone in their house. After all the excitement of the day, Silas had wanted only quiet. Dolly and Aaron had come, but after a short time, Silas had asked them to go home and not to stay any longer. Eppie held Silas's hand, and they both looked at the gold coins which Silas had put in piles on the table. "These are the coins which I counted every evening," Silas said to Eppie. "They were the only thing that gave me happiness before you came into my life. You know, Eppie, at the beginning, I sometimes thought that you'd disappear and that the gold would come back instead. At first I thought I'd be happy to have it again. But after a short time, I knew that you were more important to me than all the gold in the world. You were so little then, and you didn't know what I felt for you."
"I know now, Father," said Eppie quietly. "If it hadn't been for you, I would have been taken to the orphanage. Nobody would have loved me there."
"My dear child," Silas said, "God sent you to save me. Without you, I would have stayed alone and unhappy until I died. My money was taken and was never found all these years. Now it's come back, just when we need it, because you want to get married soon. What a miracle it is! Our life is full of miracles." Silas sat in silence for a few minutes. Then he said, "The money isn't important to me now, and I don't think it'll ever be important to me again. But if I lost you, I would lose everything, and I wouldn't think that God has been good to me anymore." Suddenly, there was a knock at the door, and Eppie went to answer it. She looked very beautiful, and there were tears in her eyes because of the things that Silas had just said. Godfrey and Nancy stood at the door. "We're very sorry to come here so late," Nancy said, taking Eppie's hand and looking at her nervously. Eppie got two chairs for Nancy and Godfrey to sit on, and then she went and stood beside Silas. "Well, Marna," Godfrey said in a firm voice, "I'm very happy that you've got your money again. It was taken from you by my own brother, and I feel very bad about that. I want to compensate you for everything you've suffered, and I want to compensate you for other things too." Godfrey stopped himself from saying more. He remembered that he and Nancy had decided that they would tell Eppie the truth sometime in the future, but not now.
"Mr. Godfrey, you've been very good to me all these years," Silas said. "I've got a lot to thank you for, and you weren't responsible for the robbery."
"You may see it that way," Godfrey said, "but I think differently. You must let me do what I think is right. You've worked hard all your life, haven't you?"
"Yes, that's true," Silas said thoughtfully. "My work was important to me during the years when I had nothing else to live for."
"Well, now you're getting older," Godfrey continued. "You should stop working and rest. But even all the money you've got now won't be enough to look after you and Eppie in the future."
"Mr. Godfrey," Silas responded, "we'll have enough money. I'm not worried about that. This amount of money may not be much for someone rich like you, but it's a lot for us. Eppie and I don't need many things."
"We only need a garden," Eppie said suddenly, and her face became red. "So you like gardens, my dear?" Nancy asked kindly. "Well, I agree with you about that. I spend a lot of my time in the garden at the Red House."
"Marna, you've been very good to Eppie for 16 years, Godfrey said. "She's become a beautiful young woman. She looks healthy too, but she doesn't look like a child from a family of working people. She looks more delicate. Wouldn't you like her to have a better life?
wouldn't you like her to be a rich lady?"
"I don't understand, sir," said Silas, looking worried. "What do you mean?"
"You know, Marna, that my wife and I haven't got any children," Godfrey explained. "We've got a big house and more money than we need. We want Eppie to come and live with us. She would be like a daughter to us in every way. I'm sure that Eppie will always love you and thank you for what you've done for her. She could visit you often, and I'll make sure that you've got enough money to have a good, comfortable life."
While Godfrey was speaking, Eppie had put her arm around Silas. She could feel that he was trembling with emotion. He tried to speak, but it was too difficult for him. Finally, he managed to speak, but so quietly that he could hardly be heard.
"Eppie, my child, say thank you to Mr. and Mrs. Cass," said Silas. "I'll be very unhappy if you go with them, but I won't stop you if that's what you want."
Eppie turned to Godfrey and Nancy. "Thank you for your offer," she said firmly, "but I won't leave my father. I like my life here, and I don't want to be a lady." She turned to Silas again and took his hand with tears in her eyes. Silas was also trying not to cry. Godfrey now understood that things weren't going as he had planned. He became angry and said what he had intended to keep secret. "Eppie, your mother was my wife," he said, very agitated. "You're my daughter. I'm your father."
Eppie became very pale and couldn't say a word. Silas turned to Godfrey.
"Why didn't you say that 16 years ago?" he asked furiously. "You should have told me before I began to love her. You abandoned her, and so you've got no right to her now."
"I'm sorry. I was wrong. I realize that now," Godfrey said. "But think what a good life I can give Eppie. If you oppose me, you're thinking only of yourself."
Silas thought that Godfrey might be right. With fear in his heart, he said,
"I won't say anything more. Speak to Eppie. I'll accept her decision."
Godfrey and Nancy were now sure that they would get what they wanted. They couldn't imagine that Eppie would prefer to live with Silas and not with her real father.
"Eppie, my dear," Godfrey said to her, "we know you love Silas. We'll make sure that he's well taken care of. I hope that you'll learn to love Nancy and me. You've never had a mother, and Nancy will be a good mother to you."
Eppie listened to all this. She was silent for a few moments. Then, holding Silas's hand firmly, she finally spoke.
"As I've already said, I won't leave the only father I've ever known," she said. "We've been happy together, and I won't let anyone come between us."
"But are you absolutely sure, Eppie?" Silas asked. "You're choosing to be poor and to live among poor people all your life."
"This is the life I know and like," Eppie said firmly. "I don't want to wear expensive clothes and ride in a carriage. I don't want to stop being friends with the village people. And I'm in love with a working man, and we are going to get married."
Godfrey looked at Nancy, angry and frustrated.
"Let's go," he said. They left the house and began walking home.
"Will you tell people that Eppie is your daughter?" Nancy asked.
"No, I won't. What good will it do if she's not coming to live with us?" Godfrey said. "I realize now that there are mistakes which can't be repaired.
I had the opportunity to raise a child, and I refused it. The only thing I can do is to give Eppy money, so that she'll have a better life.
Thank God that I've still got you, Nancy, in spite of my bad behavior. I'll never keep secrets from you again.
It was a beautiful spring day in Ravelo, the perfect day for a wedding. Eppy walked with Silas on one side of her and her new husband on the other. Aaron's parents walked behind them. Eppy was wearing a beautiful white wedding dress, which Godfrey had bought for her. They were on their way to the rainbow. All the people of the village would be there to celebrate their wedding with them. Godfrey had organized and paid for the banquet. But Godfrey would not be there. He had to travel to a distant town that day, but wouldn't say why. Nancy went to the banquet without him. Just before they reached the rainbow, Eppy turned to Silas.
"Oh, father," she said, "I don't think that anybody could ever be happier than we are.